Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to this December 21st. Yes, 2021. That means we're almost out of here. We're almost out of here. This week, you know, it is the American holiday, Christmas, right? All around the world. And we won't be doing anything Thursday. As you know, we have suspended our Thursday night episodes, but this is our last episode for before the holiday and our next to last for 2022. Thank you guys for being with us for the last 5 years. I'm grateful for you as host and producer of the Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm very much grateful for all of you. Let me apologize for our lighting, Facebook friends. You know, confession is good for the soul. So I rearranged, I used my lighting that I normally use here for the podcast studio in another place, and I failed to bring them back for us tonight. That's my fault. That's my fault. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I stand accused. I stand accused, but bear with us here. You know, maybe there's a bright side to this. You won't be able to see my fat head, ugly face as well. How about that? That's pretty good, isn't it? No. We look forward to making that change and improvement on our next episode. But nonetheless, we appreciate all of you that might follow us tonight, who may view us, who may share this with your friends and your family. Have some interesting conversation tonight that I'd love to engage you with. The phone lines, we open 657-383-0944. That is the podcast studio that you can call in right now, and we'll park you right there. I do have a monologue tonight. So after our monologue, we will open up the phone lines, and I'd love to hear what you have to say, your response. And if you're listening for the first time, Talk Straight is sponsored by BFC Institute. Well, what is BFC? Building Families and Communities Institute, which is an educational arm of a nonprofit, Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated, founded by yours truly back in 1998. And we've been striving to make a difference in the lives of young folk and families ever since then. Okay? But that's who sponsors the show. And Lord willing, we will carry ourselves into 2022, our six-year operation. I got to say thanks to you all, though, for being a part of that. Regular listeners out of St. Louis, out of New Orleans, out of Chicago, Peoria, Illinois, Jacksonville, Florida, Selma, Alabama, Indianapolis, New York. New York in the house, absolutely. Canada, Toronto, Canada. But we're happy. We're happy for each and every one of you, all of you that have called in, that's participated with us, wherever you're calling from. Portland, I forget about Portland. Forget about Portland. California has called in and shared with us a few times. And so we welcome you tonight. Wherever you are listening in the radio hemisphere, in the podcast hemisphere, feel free. Feel free. All I ask, I don't ask you to necessarily agree with me, but I do ask if you have a opposing or a different view, let's hear it and let's share it respectfully. And at the end, you know, as hosts, we're going to manage the decorum of our show and keep it wholesome and what have you. But I can promise you this: I'll give everybody a fair shot to share their ideas, and let's, you know, we can, and maybe someone else may want to have a dialogue with you about it. That's really what Talk Straight is all about. Talking straight. Not pulling, you know, not being timid, but talking straight. Tonight, our topic is American opportunity. American opportunity. Where you come up with that, Doc? Where do you get that from? All right, just stay with me. Stay with me. When we think about the American socialization, there's a suggestion that all citizens can, will, should benefit from freedom and opportunity, right? That's what we teach in our public schools, and that's what we inculcate in our various social settings and what have you, public settings and things of that nature, typically. Now, some people don't believe that, right? Even though America now, it's about 20, since 1776, that is, that Declaration of Independence, 245 years old. And actually, we've had a very blight on American history, slavery, the institution of slavery. And that has formally ended with the 13th Amendment in 1865. In fact, December 18th, 1865. Now that's been 156 years ago. Can you believe that? Well, even though we've been around 245 years, 156 of those years has people of Afro descent that were formerly slaves can no longer be so. They're free to do their own thing, take advantage of freedom and opportunity. Yet there are individuals today in 2021, going into 2022, who still believes. And, you know, our perception becomes our reality, no matter what anyone says, unless someone helps us to change that, right? There are people who believe that, hey, there's still no equality, there are no opportunities, and listen, I can't have it. I've heard people say that you can have whatever you want in America. I would argue that that's true to an extent. However, what has to happen is one has to work for that, and they have to maintain that. Don't just come willy-nilly pie in the sky for free, okay? And so having said that, it's important to realize that, yes, there are opportunities in America. However, there is a caveat. You got to be willing to put some work in for that. Got to be willing to put some work in. I got my good friend out of Selma to join us. Bear with me there, Selma. We'll get through our monologue here, and then we'll open up our phone lines. That's Brother Don G. Bevelel. I think he's going to be with me tonight on this. But we're talking about American opportunities. The fourth chapter, 11th verse says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Powerful text there. In there, it says, it suggests that someone has been commissioned, sent out to speak to people who are downhearted, and I'm going to say who are written off. They're the social outcast of a society. Perhaps there are some, as I just alluded to, who feel that way in America. Well, there's hope. There's hope. I want to go through four words and their meanings. Then I want to look at what the framer or the framers made reference to in 1776. I told you we're about 245 years old, right? Okay. All right, so bear with me. Four words: freedom, independence, opportunity, watch this, and responsibility. Freedom, what does it mean, Dr. Lee? The power to act, to speak, to think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. Absence of being subjugated to somebody else's domination, or even despotic government that tries to take over and control you. It's being free. Huh? That's what freedom is. Now watch this. Independence. How does that play then? When we talk about independence, we're talking about a state of being self-determined. In other words, you determine where you go, when you go, how you go, what you do when you go. Nobody determines that for you. We were looking at an infant. They're so wanting and needing that it's impossible for them to be independent. So let's look at a toddler. They still wanting and needing and lack of void of knowledge and understanding. Somebody needs to keep them safe. Independence not real for them. How about an adolescent? Oh, they look cocky and naive. They think they get it all together, but they hit the ground running and bust their head because they ran too fast. Somebody need to help them. Not quite ready yet. But when you reach an age and you've established and developed yourself to a point where you control the economics of your existence, help me, Holy Ghost. Say that again, Dockery. I said when you reach a point in your life, male or female, when you have established yourself and can and control the economic existence of your life, then you are on the road in America to being independent. Now watch this. We're coming to our topic, American opportunity. You notice I didn't say nothing about skin color. I didn't say nothing about ethnicity. I haven't said anything about race until pointing that out now. And let's take that all those things off the table for a second, because this applies to the individual who works to obtain. Opportunity is a set of circumstances, walk with me here, y'all, that leads to the possibilities of something happening for you. Help me. Hold. Let me stop for a second, Doctor. You're going too fast. Let me break that down for a second. When we talk about opportunities, we're talking about things that around you that you can take advantage of, places, people, circumstances. And if you're wise, you use those wisely, you can turn that into something for yourself. There are possibilities. There's hope for you. Opportunities. And guess what, my friend? There are opportunities in America. Well, what happens when opportunity meets preparation, hard work, determination? Oh, my God, you got yourself. You got yourself something. Look at what responsibility is. It's simply when opportunity acts in such a way that one is independent because of what they've obtained. They have taken advantage of, and they show and demonstrate their ability to not only have, but to maintain and extend upon. Ain't that something? Isn't that something? Look. Here are opportunities. I don't care what's going on. That's the problem, beloved. That's the problem. Too many people are allowing to get in their ear and to piss them off about everything and anything, and they can't even focus on what's real. Did y'all hear what I said? Say it again, doctor. Too many folk allow folk and things and ideas to get in their ear, get them all pissed off and upset, mad, angry, and they can't even focus on what's important in front of, opportunities in front of them. You may have had a tough start. May have been knocked on your little behind a few times. That's okay. Get up. Newborn baby or a little baby walking for the first time, they fall. What they do? Get right back up. And they learn to stay up. Touch your neighbor, say, get up and stay up. I didn't come to preach, but I felt something right there. Yeah. What are you saying, doctor? I'm simply saying that there are opportunities in America. Irregardless to where you come from, what your background is, or where you've been, if you take advantage of them, you can have independence with your responsibility. How about that? Look at what the framers said. Let's just examine these words just for a second, okay? And again, take out ethnicity. Take out color, take out if you're male or female, take out if you came from the projects or Peel Hill, take out what city you came from, take out who your mommy or daddy is. Listen to what the word says, what the framer says. 245 years ago, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments, watch this, brother, governments, systems of order, structure, are instituted among men, deriving their powers, those just powers, from the consent of those who are governed by them. Now suppose Lil Shawty on the block, clowning, trying to find himself, hungry, itchy, stop for a second and took these words to heart. That when you establish a governance, first for yourself, for your family, your neighborhood, for your community, together you all control your existence. You were born with the right to do so. What would it yield, Dockery? What would it yield? I am inclined to agree with the framers. Life, liberty, and your pursuit of happiness. One more time. What would it yield? Life, liberty, and beloved, your pursuit, happiness. What makes you happy? What you want? Talk to me. What you want? Listen. I want to, as we get ready to open up the phone lines, I want 657-383-0944. I want you to listen to what a mama said to her son. This is a blend of an excerpt from Langston Hughes, one of Langston Hughes' poem, A Mother's Voice to Her Son. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call and join us tonight. We're going to the phone.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I've been a-climbing on and reaching Latins and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now. I still going, honey. I still climbing. And life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
And we're going to switch to the phone line. 657-383-0944. Get in where you fit in. 334-7914. I believe I know who you are. Welcome to Talk Straight. Can you hear me?
Who number you calling?
Can you hear me? Big brother. You big brother. Sam Alabama's in the house.
Mr. Dockery.
Yes,
listen,
sir.
Listen, Mr. Dockery. I want you to really listen.
I'm listening.
A young brother here.
Uh-huh.
Just bought a Tesla electric car.
Okay.
And Mr. Dockery,
mm-hmm.
the guy that sold him the car, guess where he's from, Mr. Dockery?
I can't imagine.
Morocco.
Morocco. Okay.
And I was down in Miami. And Mr. Dockery, you know what's hurting me so bad right now?
What?
I hate the fucker Alabama and Tennessee. I hate them.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to work that through. I hate them.
I agree with that. You do have to work that through. Okay.
Because,
right.
you know, when you go to Florida, you got a mixed culture. And
mm-hmm.
they don't act like the folk of Tennessee and Alabama.
Okay.
And guess what else I experienced, Mr. Dockery? I threw up down. And when I say threw up psychologically, I threw up because I got to thinking about Kayla. We bought the car, and we went to a strip club.
Okay.
And as we're going in this strip club, these girls that are dancing, they are from Cuba. And they're very beautiful, and they look like my daughter, Kayla.
Mm-hmm.
And now I want to ask the United States government, why do you call Cuba a communist country? I want the United States to answer that for me. Because
well, they're not here.
Guess what I know about Cuba?
What's that?
No, hold. Guess what I know about Cuba now, Mr. Doctor?
What do you know about Cuba?
From a Morris perspective. From
what
a Morris perspective.
Know?
Guess what I know.
Right. What do you
those
know about
those Cubans
Cuba?
Are the mixed children. Those are the biracial children that are ours, that we were fighting during the Holy Wars.
I get you. Okay. So, Don, now you asked about America explaining why they call them communists, but there's no official here from America to do that. But we are talking about opportunities in America. Okay? So I would like to, if you don't mind, that's interesting.
And then, Mr. Dockery, excuse me for interrupting you.
No, go ahead.
When you say that word opportunity,
right.
I used to believe that. You and my dad didn't help me believe in that.
Wow.
But you and my dad didn't tell me about the Jesuits.
Interesting. Talk to me, Don. Talk to
you
me.
You didn't tell me they infiltrated the United States government.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to say yes. He did tell me that there was – he did tell me in his piece that he wrote in 84 when he ran for Congress, there was, you know, people that was attacking us within, just as well there's people attacking us without. And I'm going to come to learn that a lot of these guys on the police department, no, Doc, you're dirty as a crap. And one of them, guess who, like you said, it ain't about color.
No.
You're right. It could be your own kinfolk, your own brother that's blocking you. And Mr. Dockery, you better hold on to me. You better hold me because guess what? Barack Obama in trouble. Jesse Jackson in trouble. James, my brother, in trouble. Jesse Yehuda in trouble, is in trouble.
Okay.
And if you wonder why Kentucky got cold, tore up, guess what I learned about them? They was in on killing my dad.
I see. So tell me this.
So I got to work that out because guess what? If I see them, Mr. Dockery, I'm going to snap.
I get what you're saying. Well, do this for me. Tell me, why don't you believe in opportunity? You said you used to, but now you don't. Why is
because,
that?
Mr. Dockery, I done come to learn there is individuals in this country, especially these Catholic folk, that got an economic foothold in this country and don't want, like you said, the underprivileged.
Mm-hmm.
I got a young lady with me right now. She's not the complexion of me. And she was talking to me, and then she was explaining something to me, and I was listening. DHR is right now hurting the underclass people to help the Catholic folk out. That's what I done come to learn.
Okay.
You ain't trying to help family. You ain't trying to help family. You tore my family up. You took fatherhood away from me. That's what I felt when I was down there with the Cuban girl.
I see. I see.
You took my father position away from me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm mad now, Doc.
I hear you. I want you to stay with me, though. And I want you to try to maintain the control, manage that anger right now. Let's turn that anger, big brother, into an opportunity of success. How about that? How about that?
I agree with you, Doc. I agree. And can I tell you something? The young brother that got the Tesla, he was telling me that last night about where I work at. He said, Don, I hear you talking, but you're working at Raceway and making $25 a night.
Okay.
The dude there at the Raceway, you know what he tells everybody? He's paying us $9. That's a lie. That's a lie.
What? Say what? Say what? Okay.
And then listen to this. You from Yemen, you come here in the United States, and you're going to tell me it's all right. Listen to this, Mr. Dockery. On the way down to Florida, we get to the Florida-Alabama line. We stop and get some gas to the brother in the gas station. Guess what the brother told us this weekend when we was going down to, you know, to get the car to bring it back?
Man, fuck you. It just took my damn money.
What happened was the guy came out and explained to us outside the store that the Ku Klux Klan is still killing folk down in that town.
Now,
it's present date. He also, listen here, in Selma, Alabama, at this present date, Benjamin Turner plaque ain't up. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So
The mayor's been here, all three African Americans, all they are is in Greek fraternities. All they're doing is getting materialistic things from themselves. They don't care nothing about the people.
I get you. Let me jump in here for a second. Some of the things that I pointed out in the monologue, and that's why I did that, was to indicate how even if one had come from a deficit, being set back, how they can take even those circumstances and turn them into a win. It don't matter where you are. Don't matter where you start. What matters is where you end. And guess who's in control of that? You and I. So let's look at what you're saying, Don, and let's look at all this in totality. And let's realize that, okay, I may have missed 25, 30, 40, 50 years, okay? But the question is, am I dead? And in the next 10 years, where do I want to see myself? Even if I have to crawl that big brother. You see what I mean? Now, the people in Selma, the people in Nashville, the people in Miami, Florida, wherever you are, did you get to see Liberty City down there, Don?
Yeah, I tell you what I ran into on the way back.
Okay.
We came through a town. We stopped at a town, and it was like a service stop. So they have some pamphlets in there, and they have, and in the pamphlet they were showing this guy in a Union uniform putting up a historical mark in this town in Florida. Well, as I'm looking at it, it explained about the Preservation Act of 1966. Well, if that Preservation Act was out in 1966, why y'all ain't put up Benjamin Turner's plaque in Selma?
Maybe they don't know.
You didn't do it even when my dad and Dr. King were fighting for the right to vote. You didn't do it when Smitherman was in office. And now we're in 2000, you ain't done it. Yeah. Then you got these guys in these Protestant churches playing like they're Christians.
All right,
they're doing the same thing the Catholic priest is doing.
So guess what I'm gathering?
They're doing the exact same thing the Catholic priest doing.
Guess what I'm gathering from everything you're saying? That if you want something done, you can't wait on nobody else to do it. You're saying, big brother. If you want it, you got to make it happen.
That's true.
You got to manifest it, you know? Now, is it going to be
easy? That's true. And guess what, Mr. Dockery?
What's that? What you got?
That's true. But you got individuals around you. I'm going to say to the FBI, CIA. You never did. Listen to this, Mr. Dockery. You don't even know this. Raceway where I work at. Guess who I meet out here at the pump?
I don't know.
Guess who I met out here at the pump? Coretta Scott King, first cousin. Guess what she said? Okay. Guess what she said to me, Mr. Dockery?
What did she say? I don't know. What did she say?
She said they know Jesse set Dr. King up. So you tell the United States FBI and CIA, y'all badges ain't worth nothing. That's a woman talking to you. That's the woman's husband's. I mean, that's the man that got killed wife's cousin talking to me. And guess what? In 1987, I wrote for Jesse's Picture. Minister Farrakhan got up and said black politicians were symbols without substance. The picture I wrote for, Jesse claimed he had some of Dr. King blood smeared on his shirt. They never did do nothing, all right? So when my dad made his ascendancy towards the vice president, what I found out, one of Jesse's friends, the same ones that said, I got out of the way to get Dr. King's clear, get a clear shot on Billy Cowles, I'm researching, and I looked at the Facebook. Two of my sister's mother was hooked up with Billy Cowles.
Hey, Don, let me stop you for a second. We got another call in, and we want to move forward. 657-383-0944. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Buzz Dockery. Our topic tonight is American opportunity. American opportunity. Now, some people don't believe there are any opportunities in America. Let's talk about this tonight. And I'm going to ask my good friend and co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller. Welcome, sir. Pastor Waller, welcome, sir.
Hey there. What do you say, Pastor Doctor?
Man, I got two ends of a raggedy rope, and I done tied them together trying to make something happen.
Okay. Well, you got it. You got it locked down there.
Well, you know, I'm worried sometimes, gentlemen, that this rope is raggedy. I started with a raggedy rope, and I'm worried sometimes it may not hold. But if I can get a tie a good knot done, a threefold knot, then I think I can make it.
Yeah, you can restore that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, Brother Don.
Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead, Don.
Can I make a suggestion to you?
I'm listening. I want to hear that.
I'm 72 years old, and I wouldn't suggest. I wouldn't tell you nothing wrong.
62.
You, as a younger brother, being a minister, I wish you would hook up with LaRouche Legacy Foundation. And the reason I tell you that, they send me information, intelligence information. That's when I said what I said about the Jesuits, because they did a whole pamphlet on it. And they did a whole pamphlet on the they alluded about in their the economic program that's going on now is about electric cars. You know what I'm saying? And I went and did some research today down the library on it. But to say to you, Mr. Dockery, is when you go against the United States, when you are up in the United States, a lot of things I learned. Like you were talking about the Declaration of Independence.
That's right.
It goes deeper than that. There's a thing called the Articles of Association of 1774. Slavery was over in 1774 for our people. But at the time we was in slavery at that period of time, our people wasn't speaking English fluently. You understand what I'm saying? We were the lost people.
Okay. You said slavery was over in 1774?
In 1774, the same framers did a document called the Articles of Association of 1774.
Talk to me about slavery. I heard you say slavery was over at that time. That's where I
It was over. It was over. It was over. But the slaves didn't know that. Because they couldn't read that document.
Okay.
They didn't know that. They weren't educated to that.
Hold on, Don. Hold on one second now. You know, I'm a history major. I got a degree in history. And everything I read said that slavery went well until 1865. Did you mean 65? 1865?
Hold on. And then when you said it went off in 18. The reason it went that far, Mr. Dockery, because we have spies inside the country like we do now.
I see. Okay.
You got British spies up in our country.
I tell you what.
Spies up in our country.
I'm going to leave that right there, big brother, so that we can stay focused on our topic on American opportunity. I want to bring Pastor Waller back in here. Pastor Waller, can you name me some opportunities, Pastor Waller, that you can think of in America? Do you know of any? There are some people who don't believe there are any, but do you know of any, Pastor?
Know of any opportunities to change? Yeah, I think that's valuable. I can think of change is good for us. I don't know if how many people would be willing to step up to the challenge, but change is good. If you'd like to wait on somebody else to change for you.
Okay.
It's detrimental. I'm talking about that's what happened with me. I had to realize that change was not bad. It was a good thing.
I see.
Change
I
for
see.
The better.
Well, now talk to me about that. What am I changing? Yeah. What do I change? What do I change? I like what you're saying. I like what you're saying. What is what? How does change start, big brother? How does it start to change something? I want to change.
Well, it's something about faith. Faith, having faith that things that seems impossible, you know, and the mindset would keep one in that mentality or that mold of slavery.
Mm.
You know, that thought pattern of that slave mentality, you know, it kind of lingers. But that, I heard you all was talking about it, how long ago, and then I thought about today. I'm like, there must be another form of it then, because there's a lot of people that have been enslaved today, right now, by some particular things, and that's the thing that I, you know, I thought about when I heard y'all speaking about that slavery thing, how it had been removed, you know, like dismissed or something like that. Well, I think it must have reoccurred or something, because man, there's some people right now chasing something that they don't have to chase, because it's the mind. They don't know that. I chased it for a long time myself. That's how I know that when I got free from it. You know, we talk about the scripture a lot about, you know, you said know the truth and the truth shall make you free.
That's right.
And so I look at change. Change is good for us, man. You know, it's like, as I said, it seems impossible, you know, to many. And I understand very well, you know, because of the time frame and how much is put before, that's placed before us that we adapt to and
mm-hmm.
And you know, and it just become a part of our life, like it's okay. but I don't think that it's okay. And I'm glad that I'm being weaned off of it, off of that thought of saying, okay, I can actually change. You know, it's like
okay.
Then I even thought it was impossible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was impossible for a while. Pastor.
I like what you're saying. You're saying that one opportunity in 2021, did y'all know that this month is almost gone, man, and we're about to go in a new cycle, a new annual cycle in the country. So whatever opportunities existed in 2021, about gone. They're about gone. And you're going to have to prepare yourself.
Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Now listen what you just said to me. What's coming?
I heard this man.
You said a new year, right? A new cycle.
A brand new.
Okay.
About to come.
Okay. Now, you talked about change. Now, change comes from within.
Talk to me, Don. Come
listen
on, man.
Listen to this, Mr. Doctor. No, okay, I'm going to talk to you now.
Come
Pope
on, now.
Gregory
to
set up the cycle. Pope Gregory set this cycle up. And
okay.
When Pope Gregory set this cycle up, it was for the guys in the Catholic Church to make money.
Okay.
See, we didn't know about the sidereal calendar.
Let me ask you this. But let me ask you this.
I didn't know nothing about my mama's heritage or history. I had to come to learn that.
I hear that. Do we live in America, Don? Yes or no?
Yes, we do.
All right. And as we live here, is it necessary for us to make some sort of adaptation?
I'm on radio.
Is it necessary for us to make some sort of adaptation for our existence as we live here? Or do we just go without? I'm trying to understand, because I like what Price Pass is. He's talking about changing some stuff, man. And I agree with some things need to change around here. Real quick.
And I think the pastor was talking about seeking the kingdom within. See, when you go within, you change within.
Okay.
And when you change within, you re-educate yourself. You got to re-educate yourself about yourself. You got to know your origin. You got to know your nationality. You got to know your identity.
Okay. Then let me throw this question at Pastor. Pastor, are we free to change? Is there freedom for anyone to make that change they need? I like what y'all are saying. Pastor, are you free or do you have to wait on somebody else? How much it costs to change, Pastor?
No, it's just the choices. It's the choices that I... fair to say that we can make choices today that we may not know that we can. And that's where the change is needed. You know, that's where opportunity is. Should change, that it's available, and it's like no fear. You know, it's like faith. You know, take the fear from it and utilize the faith. And that's where power changes. It's like, as I said today, when I say today, I'm speaking about this very moment. There's a lot of people locked into a certain way. Actually, you know, the word say there is a way that seems to be right. You know, the same, but, you know, that means seem to be, that's not it, but it seems like it. But the ending there, the way it says, the way of destruction. So, if there's a way that seems to be right into a man's way of doing things, that means that he know that he's doing it wrong. So another thing, you got to get with the truth, and then that would help us. Hey, it's not easy. Because it become a habit. You know, I mean, ongoing habit. Why would the word even say that? And of course, and you know, a lot of people are not dealing with what the word says, and that's understandable. I can be the witness and say I haven't always dealt with it.
Okay.
But I'm just so glad that I found out that, man, because if I didn't, I would continue to go with the flow. You know, it's like, you know, the same words that they say, the same words I heard, they go along just to get along, you know. Just to get along. I mean, okay, I'm going to go along with what's going on, just to get along. That needs to be changed.
Okay.
That is something. So, yes, choosing to change is what it's going to take. It's not like you're not free. You know, yeah, you're free, but you're afraid to step up to it. I'm talking about myself. And then then it dawned on me. I was like, man, what do you do? I'm not talking about how you used to go to my, at that time, I was doing it. But all that stuff too, it seems like I didn't have the knowledge, didn't have the power, and I didn't. But one day when I got it, I was like, oh man, it's not bad. It's just called change. So it's a lot of things still today, Pastor Daphne. I'm gonna tell you this right here, and this is something that is valuable. And I'll say to your brother Don as well.
Okay. He's listening. I'm gonna come back to him.
Okay, yeah, the majority of the people right now are living that slave style right now. And don't even know it. And don't even, that's the thing.
Okay.
Just think if they knew it.
Yeah.
Because when you become comfortable with being enslaved, it's hard to even know that you're enslaved. You think you're free.
Right.
That's when it is a way to seem right to a man.
Okay.
I can seem like I'm free. No, if I'm going to be free, I'm going to be free indeed. I'm not getting ready to, you know, just sit around here and wonder, do I have a right today? Do I have to wait on, do I have to wait on somebody else to tell me what I have to do? Oh, man. That's
heavy right there.
That's heavy.
Let me bring Don in on that. I think you may have something to say there. Don, when I think about the word freedom, and I share this, it really is the power to act, to do something, and not waiting on somebody else to give you permission. What do you think about what Pastor was saying?
That's right.
Don, what do you think about that?
The Pastor hit on a good point.
Okay, go ahead.
The Pastor brought on a good point.
Okay.
The point that he brought on that was is so, see, Mr. Dockery, he just said something. I'm in a car with an individual right now. She's young. Okay. She don't know that some individuals is misdirecting her. She don't know that. She really don't. And she got the knowledge that she got, and she's a sweet individual. But it's people around her, Mr. Dockery. You know what she did the other night? And I was sitting there looking. She went to this preacher's house. Guess who the preacher is? Her father-in-law. She knocks on the door to go see her children because she got children by the preacher's son. Guess what they did, Mr. Dockery? They didn't even open the door to let her in, and it was raining.
Okay.
So I'm going to say something that my brother preaches. I want them to listen to me good. A brother here in Selma, who was a Seventh-day Adventist, taught me about the Sabbath being on Saturday. That's when I started looking at the ministers.
Okay.
In my community.
But now,
you misguided. Listen to this. This girl, listen to this, Miss Doctor. That girl got his grandchildren, and she's the mother of his grandchildren.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, Don, that doesn't sound good. And
no, you can't control them, Mr. Dockery. Only thing you can do is educate yourself and try to make yourself better.
So bring it back to me tonight, Don, on what we're talking about in terms of freedom here to change and the power for one to act on their ability, their right to change. Because I agree with that. That's a key point right here. And that's an opportunity. I asked you all for an opportunity. Pass put that on the floor. Now, I think I'm convinced that when people act on the knowledge that they have the right and the power to bring about the change, necessary to bring them independence, that's a grand opportunity right there. And can't nobody take that away from you. I want to believe that that's what the framers was alluding to when they talked about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I mean, but now if I waste my time and if I misuse my strength and my energy, I find myself depleted of what it takes for me to get where I need to be. You see?
Mm.
So it's important for me to know that it's only 24 hours in a day, gentlemen. So it's not wise for me to stay up all day and expect to be able to function and be productive the next day. Maybe I'm wrong about that. So we're just talking about how to manage yourself so that you can bring about the change that you might want. It'll lead to the independence. I don't care what you've been through, where you come from, who you are. There's hope. There's hope for your change. Anybody want to come into that before we move on to
Mr.
the next?
Doctor.
Come on, brother. Come on, Don. Keep it to me, Don. Keep me about this change, Don.
Whenever you have young folk in this country that's been misguided, hold on, Mr. Dockery, because what y'all talking about is happening right now, right in front of you.
Okay.
And like you said, when you young and you've been misguided by leadership, Mr. Dockery, if I hadn't went around Reverend Bevel, my dad, my biological dad, I didn't know nothing about fasting. So today's young folk, they don't know nothing about fasting. They don't know how to discipline the flesh. So nobody ever taught them.
All right. Somebody needs to teach them then. If they want to learn, they want to learn something. Yes, that's possible. That's a change that can take place. That's a change.
But
that
you
can
can't. Take. But the young folk, if they don't have nobody to teach them, to show them how to discipline the flesh.
All right. That's a good segue, Don, into the next thing I want to talk about. Pastor Waller, Luke 4:11 said it like this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and, watch this, recovering the sight to the blind.
Listen,
how can the people hear without the preacher? And how can the preacher preach? I wish I had a witness. I did not come to preach.
He can't preach except he's been sick, man.
And maybe that's what we need to help set folk free, Pastor. To let them know that they got a power. They got the right. What do you say about that?
That's it, brother. You know, you got to have the instructor to instruct the person, so that people can know that who was set to do it.
Right.
Because not everybody's going to do that for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Listen, the information is clear, right? But at the end of the day, independence comes when a person has self-determined outcomes. It's not what me or you as the preacher say to them, but it's what they do with what they receive. Is that right?
Yeah, that would be accurate.
Okay, all right. Because sometimes I have found in my experiences that many are looking for the preacher or those in that arena to speak and act for them as well. That's where they stop. And when they gone, they messed up, Pastor. Or when they go straight, when they go off all kilt, then the folk are messed up. Because it was like the blind leading the blind. You know what's going to happen then.
Oh, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. That is dangerous, yeah.
They both fall in the ditch. They both fall in the
ditch. Yes, sir. I remember those times. so well.
So,
Mr. Doctor,
so well.
Hold on. Don?
Go ahead, Brother Don.
Can I atone? I'm going to say something to you.
Go ahead.
Dr. King and my dad and them was going to school, they didn't know nothing about Sabbath being on a Saturday.
Okay.
They had the information that they had.
All right.
You see what I'm saying? And so
yeah.
Me being a progeny of Reverend Bevel, only thing I can tell to the listening audience, you had to go to another level. I love my dad, but I see some of his shortcomings. So I had to go higher than him. And I'm going to say something to you and Pastor Wyler.
Listen.
I see what my dad was in. I was trying to pull him back. I knew he was part of the Greek fraternities. I tried to get him to Brother Bonzio. Brother Bonzio had passed, but I tried to get him back to learn those 101s. I was trying my best to pull him. You understand what I'm saying? But when you caught up in a negative spirit and energy, that's hard to pull an individual out of that. You know what I'm saying? It's just like here in Selma. I see all these young guys out here doing their little handshaking in the gangs. And Mr. LaRouche then made the statement, all gangs are criminal activity of the Roman Catholic Church. You know what I'm saying? It's not putting the young folk down. It's just that they've been caught in a net, and you're trying to pull them out. You want them out. But see what I'm saying? They're caught up in that negative stream. I mean, that spiritual energy is deep. It's really deep. You remember in The Godfather in the movie, the guy said, I tried to get out, but the energy kept pulling me in? That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, so, Don, here's the thing. I want, when we finish, there to be some hope for somebody know what to do. And I want to say that I won't say that what you're saying is not true or about the Catholic Church and things of that nature and the Sabbath and so forth and so on. But from a practical standpoint, I ask, what's the first step for change, right? And perhaps it begins with you, whatever information you don't have, or equipment you don't have, go obtain that, right? Now, if the Sabbath is what's going to transform your life, or if information about the Catholic Church is going to transform your life, fine. But whatever it takes to transform your life, to make that change, do that, right? And you have to know for yourself. I mean, you know, Pastor, we grew up, I think all of us did, because our parents suggested certain things to us, didn't they? They fed us, told us, tried to lead us the right way. Is that right, gentlemen? Maybe I'm the only one that has.
That's right.
Huh?
Hey, that's a good thing about the ones who's responsible for you.
Yeah.
They would do the best. They would do the best to try to make sure you're on the right track.
That's right. Even Pastor, when we were a little hard-headed and didn't do what they told us to. They tried, didn't they? With the best they had, they tried.
That's right.
Now.
That's right.
God has saw fit, called them home, take them to another place. And we're here now. We're here now. It's 2021. About to be 2022. And perhaps there's an opportunity for us to be a light, a platform, a foundation for somebody who hadn't been through the bumps and the roads we've been through. You understand? That's what we're talking about, that change right there. And opportunities. But in the United States of America, there are opportunities. If you are willing to go, get them. They ain't coming to you. Can I say that again? Excuse my English, y'all. They ain't coming to you. Tell your neighbor, say, you got to go get it. You got to go get it. You got to go get it. Part of opportunity requires responsibility. Uh-oh, I'm saying something right there. It requires responsibility. And what is that response? To actually act on what comes to you. I agree with Don that a lot of our babies, our young people, have learned to react, Don. Not to be proactive, but to be reactive to certain stimulus that's out there. Sex, drugs, alcohol, gambling, and you go down the list. That's what they've learned to do. And what is necessary is to back up and ask yourself, what is it that I need to be responsible for? What do I need to be looking at? Because I don't want to find myself on a losing end. How about y'all? Don, you said you're 62 or 63. Is the clock going to turn around for you, big brother?
No, sir. And guess what, Mr. Dockery? I got to be honest with you. My oldest son never been under my care. And he's 37 years old.
Got it.
And I'm going to say something to you. You remember that rap song they came out with, and the young guy said, you can't tell me nothing?
Okay.
That's what we got now. We got a generation that's been brainwashed in this pop hip-hop culture to reject knowledge. It's constantly told at them to reject knowledge, to do something stupid. And like I said, I don't get too mad at the young folks smoking weed. I don't get too mad at them drunk.
All right.
Because we never have put them in a context to ever teach them about fasting, how to eat whole and healthy.
Right.
You know, we wasn't taught that from a biblical standpoint of view. You see what I'm saying? So we have to re-educate our people how to eat healthy, take care of their health, how to discipline themselves, how to stay, like you say, stay focused. You know what I'm saying? We've been in a culture that's like LaRouche called it. It's called the drug counterculture, and it was stowed up on the young generation. And guess what? My generation come behind Mama's generation. We were taught to work. We worked so that we left the children at home with watching TV, and they were doing everything.
Now, I was going to take a minute to say that I can applaud Pastor Waller for spending a good deal of his time. He could be doing something else, but he's spent a good deal of his time out there in the streets down with the baby. And when you think about it, that's where it is. Now, you can talk or you can act. I appreciate the fact that the man keeps himself focused on that. And Pastor, if you will, can you talk to me? You introduced this opportunity of change. We stand on that right now. Can you tell me a little bit about how? 1 second, Don. Can you tell me a little bit, Pastor, about how you've seen the manifestation of some change? I'm not saying it's happened to you that you know. Fix everything overnight. No magic spell. I'm not suggesting it. Pastor, talk to us about some of the things you've seen positively. I think you had a young man that you were working with last week that was doing some things in particular. Pastor Waller.
Yeah, it was, man. He went out and he made some decisions, you know, to get on the right road because I'm looking from afar and watching my work, the thing that you said that you mentioned about me being out on the ground. And so him being very young, but as time went by, he was bold enough, you know, to get in contact with me and said some things to me that he was seeking guidance, you know. And I thought that was impressive because, you know, when he made known of it, I was just like breezing through, and I seen where he was reaching out. I said, man, that's amazing.
Mm.
And I actually, if I can share a little bit of it with you, I would do so. This is what I heard him say to me. The first thing he asked me, he said, how you doing, Pastor Rick? That's what he called me. He called me Pastor Rick. And I responded and said, I was all right. I was cool. And thank you for asking, man. And so he wrote a little something to me. He said, hey, I've been getting my life back on track, mentally, spiritually, physically. I've been living like a dog for a long time. And I started holding myself accountable for all my actions. Now I see everything clear that I've done. So he let it be known that if you've been watching me from afar, so I'm going to make a long story short.
Okay.
He said to me, he said, if I can have your number, so I could from time to time, to have a person I could talk to spiritually and just about life, period. If so, and then he put his number down there and said, save my number. So, you know, he was reaching out, and I understand because he's seen me. He's seen me out in the streets, you know, but he was watching from afar. You know how the scripture says that when the father seen his son from afar. Reaching out. In other words, ready to come on in.
Right.
And that's what the young brother reminded me of, you know. So I got with him, and so he's now doing really good, man. And that made sense to me to know there's more out there. But had I not been out there on the ground, he wouldn't have been able to see my work if I'd have kept it to myself.
That's
the
point, right there.
You know, and that's what you're talking about. So, yes, that's some of the things that's going on.
And oftentimes, Pastor, people seem to think that, and I've been guilty of it myself, there's a certain amount, a certain size, a certain way you got to be or do, or it ain't right. And just being there, somebody will. You understand? If you wasn't there, man, it may have been cold out there when he saw it. Huh? You know what I mean?
Years went by. I'm sure it was years that went by. I mean, years. It wasn't just like you seen me out there for a week or something. You know, it's like you've been watching me from afar for a while. And that, to me, reminded me that, man, they're watching you, brother. So you gotta continue to be that example, because they are watching you just in case that they're willing, you know. And that's a good point that you brought up.
Okay. Don, you were trying to say something, brother. And we're getting your feedback in the background. Go ahead.
I know you are. Mr. Doctor, I'm going to say something to you, and I don't think you still don't quite get it. We're living in a world today that our young folk, they're lost because the leadership messed them up. And we don't want to accept that. We as a people don't want to accept that we got leadership. They getting for themselves. Like Karen Selma, let's take this for instance. I've been here advocating Benjamin Turner plaque. These ministers ain't nothing but Masons playing with the Catholic Church here in Selma. The plaque ain't up. They ain't trying to get a financial institution. They going from building to building trying to run a program. No, sir. You ain't getting to the root of the problem. No,
let's
sir.
Let's not deal with
I'm,
them.
I'm looking
let's
at you
very well. Well, let's not deal with them. Let's not deal with them.
And then
let's
I'm going to say this, Mr. Dockery.
Wait.
I'm going to say this, Mr. Dockery. There's got to be somewhere that we develop a context where our young folk can really learn.
All right. Now, that makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. I know what I'm doing here in Nashville, and I'm not sure exactly what opportunities are there in Selma. But wherever one is done, that's what you have to look for. If you have folk that don't, are not willing, or just in the way, avoid them at all costs, man. Let them go. Let them go. They ain't no good for you. I got a new caller here. 323. Last four digits of the phone number.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I hear you.
All right.
I'm a muter.
You want me to mute you?
No. I wanted to ask a question.
Yes, sir.
Maybe I should call back in because I have a bad connection. I'm hearing a lot of verb. Are you hearing a lot of burp?
Hold on one second. I'm going to get stay right there, please.
Okay.
Right. Is it better for you now? Is your sound better
for
you
now?
Oh,
yeah. Now it's good.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it's
no
good
problem.
Now.
You're on Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. And we have brother from Selma, Nashville on with us here. This is Talk Straight. Thank you for joining us. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Okay, thanks. I came by because, I took a look at your description page, and it appears that you acknowledge racism, but you also say or imply strongly that racism is just an adversity that can be overcome.
Okay.
Do I have that right? Am I interpreting that right?
So I do acknowledge that America has a history of racism, and I also know from personal experience that one does not have to allow that to hold them back from taking advantage of opportunities in America. So I think that that's correct. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, because I've been on a lot of black shows in my years in Black Talk Radio, and a lot of them keep on saying that Whitey's holding me down, Charlie's holding me down. And I acknowledge that racism exists. You say there's a history of racism. Every time I keep asking for a definition of systemic racism, I keep getting, it's all around us, it's good to hear that there are people who do say, you know what, racism is a bitch, but it can be overcome, and I and we can achieve.
Yes,
so
sir.
My question is, I don't know if you guys ever go on other shows, and if you do, what kind of response do you get? Because I usually get hung up on.
I don't. I'm the host of the show, and I don't do that. We've been going. My co-host is Pastor Ricky while he's on with us. He and I both have stepped outside of the traditional pulpit to address some social economic issues that we have found that have been the blight for many people that we're concerned about. You understand what I'm saying? And so my focus for our show, I used to do a traveling lecture series, and I went to several cities that had the same demographics and circumstances and issues, right? And we've been doing this now for going on 6 years. So I don't really go to other shows. I'm not really looking to argue with anybody. I would love to have wholesome dialogue. I encourage my listening audience to listen to our previous shows. We've been fortunate to have now close to 500 of them that we've done since we've been talking. I hope that people can take something from it. But I hope I answered your question there accurately.
Yeah, you have. Also, there's Judge Joe Brown on Block Talk Radio, too. I don't know if you know of it, but he has the same mindset.
Yes.
Yeah, he has the same mindset you do. He says that, you know, racism is here, but it's only an adversity that should not be a major obstacle.
Yes,
so
sir.
when I tell blacks that, they keep thinking that because I'm not one of them in their minds, that I'm trying to be I don't know, an outsider just looking
right.
in. But I said, okay, fine. You know, look, different strokes for different folks.
Let me say this. I appreciate what you're saying. It's possible for anyone to allow their circumstances to blind them from the steps to change it. I know I just said something that sounds a little oxymoron, but it's possible.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
You should look at your history, but don't dwell on the past to the degree that it stops you from achieving in the future.
Absolutely. Don't let the anger that naturally might come from looking at what happened in the past keep you from changing the circumstances, because you'll be stuck there. And that's what I find. A lot of people are stuck in the past because they don't know how to let go certain things and move on. What's most important is, if I had a hard time, I had a hard life, what's most important is that I lay a path for those coming behind me not to repeat that. You understand what I'm saying? And if I'm not careful, I can allow myself to get stuck in my stuff, and my children grow up in my same boo-boo, my same mess. because I didn't clean the way for her. Yeah, I'm going to stop right there. I wanted to give Pastor Waller, who's on with us, a chance to respond to you. I appreciate you. Thank you for calling.
Sure.
Stay with us as long as you like. But I want to give Pastor Waller a chance to respond to him because he has written two books. And let me just give you, let me set it up just very briefly and introduce you to him. He's written two books because he was one of those people who society said was the derelict, was the destructor, and the one that they should have locked up for the rest of their life. Because he, I'll let him tell you a little bit about his story. But, Pastor, will you respond to our good brother here that's joining us tonight here?
Yeah, well, I want to thank him for making the call, you know, and I appreciate
Absolutely.
Him being open and honest.
Sure.
And that's valuable because we need more of that. And I think that made me feel really, really good to know that you called in with an open mind. And, yes, I was the person of living street life, and I got captured. You know, I had a particular, I would call it, as a kid, I had a particular toy that I used to play with. And I put a lot of energy into it, and it's called basketball. Now, that's not for everybody, and I wouldn't dare tell anybody that they can do what I do with the ball because I do a lot of things with it still today. But I didn't know I was going to become as good as I became, but I didn't even know it. I was captured. I was captured while I was young, and I had the ball in my hand, and I still didn't realize how good I was with the ball, and I even increased in being fairly good with it as I grew on up, but I was captured still. And I ended up on drugs and still had the ball in my hand. And I mean, I was really doing it. Can't even see it. And that's how powerful I mentioned earlier about slavery. It doesn't just come in the form that one may think it comes in. It comes in a form of an area where you're being controlled. And that's why they call it a controlled substance. So it controlled my life for about 20 years. And then when I escaped, It made me aware that, man, I was enslaved to this particular chemical.
Mm.
But I've been delivering that 29 years, and I've written two books. And, of course, it's you know, it's just a beautiful thing to know because I thought I was going to always be in it and never to get free from it. And it's all because I didn't have no knowledge and I didn't understand, you know, how I got caught up in it and things like that. And so being free is a beautiful thing. I talked to Pastor Docker a lot about what the scripture says about being free. In St. John chapter 8, verse 32, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." See, I couldn't help myself. And then when I got with the truth, I got free, and I just appreciate that. And so, again, I'm just glad you called, and I just wanted to share a little bit about that. The name of my book, the first book is entitled Still High, because God knew I loved to get high, and so he just gave me a high that was much better than the one I was on. And he said to me, if you don't like this one, you can always go back to the one you love the most. Well, I haven't been back to the other one since, because I found one that's much stronger, and it lasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, man. And so, and my second book is entitled The Flip Side. So that's just a little taste of what you know, Pastor Docker was talking about my life, and I just gave you a briefing of it.
I'd like to ask you a question, Carl, if you don't mind. But feel free to
as
ask
long
you
as
questions.
Okay.
Feel free to I was just curious, in your view. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I was just waiting. I was about to say, if it's not too personal, because a lot of people
I had no personal questions.
Okay.
That ain't none of my business. That ain't none of my business. No. generally speaking, I get the perception that you've thought a good deal about the socioeconomic plight across America. And our topic tonight is American opportunity. In my experiences, my occupational background, I've dealt a lot with particularly young people who were despondent and thrown their hands up and have given up on education, entrepreneurship, you know, any of those type of developments. where do you see those prospects moving forward in the next 10 years? And what are some opportunities do you think concerned individuals can encourage, educate, motivate, and inspire young folk to take advantage of?
Well, I think people like yourselves, being people who actually lived the life of perhaps despair, despondency, mm-hmm. and maybe mm-hmm. even self-destruction, have risen okay. up from that abyss. You're okay. the best teachers. Other people who haven't experienced it and haven't conquered those particular obstacles, they're just they're just people who they're outliers. So people don't really pay attention to them. So people like yourselves should be the ones that other people should listen to. Now, with regards to the economy as a whole, I think in 2 years America is going to be just about completely destroyed.
Wow!
Because I believe that there are forces at work that deliberately are setting out to destroy the entire world and America through the vaccine. And so if we do survive, then people, you know.
Okay.
You know, then I think we would be lucky. When you take a look at the trend that's happening now with inflation going to perhaps reach hyperinflation by next year, the policies of Biden, forced mandates, which aren't even law, which are illegal, and whistleblowers from Pfizer, from CDC, and from the FDA talking about how these vaccines are dangerous, and yet they keep insisting that we keep putting these chemicals into our body. That's another area that, to me, is especially important.
Sure.
But if, for example, we were to survive, we were to have the normal, quote-unquote, economy, then I think that people should go to college or get a trade or even pick up entrepreneurship because I do think opportunities are out there for those who are willing to put in the elbow grease.
Right.
So those are my opinions.
Okay, I appreciate that. You know, here's the thing. I'm a man of faith, so I just believe that we're going to be around, and I'm looking forward. I'm planning to be around. Looks rough right now, my friend, but I'm planning to be around. I'm going ahead and setting up my plan so I can be around here. If, you know, and I understand that everybody have the reasons for where they are and that sort of thing. But thank you so much for that. I got a caller here from 804. 1139. Join us here on Talk Straight, our topic, American Opportunity. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Welcome to Talk Straight. Question or comment?
Yes. Hi. Good evening, Reverend Dockery. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just became aware of your wonderful show, and it's so true. Okay. It's really establishing a personal heart-to-God relationship and having a rock-solid faith and learning to love your neighbors yourself. If you just take those two simple things into your heart and then into your family and into the community, and then look for something that you have a passion for and ask for divine guidance and bring that forth as a blessing wherever you can, then you're really on track with your life. And if that faith is rock solid, you'll see your way through anything. I've been tested my whole life, and my whole life is like the poem Footprints in the Sand, and now I'm functioning as a global visionary looking to show people through experiences I've had, not just to say it's about me, but showing you how my faith in God has seen me through some pretty interesting circumstances.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you. Yeah, but we're on with Pastor Waller. I want to, if y'all don't mind, I want to bring our caller from Selma, Alabama, back in. He had a few things going on in his background. I hope he's been able to clear those up so we can hear. We get that feedback and don't want to, interfere with the show. Y'all bear with me. Thank you, my friend out of, looks like you're calling from the Richmond area. I appreciate you joining us tonight. We've just been centrally... For me, it's important, gentlemen, that everything I say and do is motivating and encouraging. We see some tough things, and, you know, bad things have happened, but there's hope for us to turn that around and change it. And so if it's one thing I want to focus on tonight, it is where opportunities lie. You know what I mean? where opportunities lie to fix those things. So, Don, Selma, Alabama, you've been listening to our good friend out of, looks like, the Richmond, Virginia area and Los Angeles area. Comment or question about anything they said thus far, and we'll continue our dialogue.
Hello?
Yeah, Don, you there? Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Don, you have
the feedback, Mr. Doctor. I'll be honest with you. Mr. Doctor, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Hello?
We hear you. Yeah, we have the floor.
Yo, CIA.
Okay. I don't know what's going on with his connection there. Now you are choppy there, Ms. Bevel. Go ahead and try to see if you can get your volume back, then we'll continue our discussion. So let me just pose a question to the rest of you gentlemen on the panel here. One of the things I discussed was the in my monologue. I offer a monologue typically to give us some context for the discussion, our topic that we have. And one of the things that I discussed in the monologue was the importance of personal responsibility. Now, in any situation that you find yourself in, you know, if we don't buy into our salvation, if you will, and we don't invest in the efforts to make things better, then we'll always be subject to someone else's will. What say y'all to that? What do you think of that? I'll start with you, Virginia.
Yes, that's exactly true. And forgiveness, love, and prayer are the most important values in life. And I actually have something that is synchronistic with your show about creating opportunities. And I also have a poem that Maya Angelou commented on that I put out as a global opportunity. So we can speak off air if you don't mind. I have no fear. I can share my name and an interview that was done with a cybersecurity expert that discusses.
Okay,
I appreciate that. Yes, if you put my name on the internet, it's Hugh, H-U-G-H. Your last name, Trulson, is spelled T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S like Sam, E like Edward, N like Nancy. Then after my name, just put and Maya Angelou. You'll hear me speaking with her in a portion of an archived blog talk show and her kind words about a poem I authored titled Caring Sharing, which can be viewed on a blog, the word creativity777.com. The poem is in the President Ronald Reagan Library. I put it out as a weapon against terrorism when 9/11 happened in 2001, also as a global memorial to George Floyd. And currently I offer it to any artist, any nonprofit, any company or organization to utilize for fundraising and to bring attention back to their social media and websites to show exactly who they are and how they're adhering to what the message of the poem conveys. It's a very short poem. It can be put on like T-shirts and coffee mugs and posters. It's titled Caring Sharing. It reads, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed. It really sums up what life should be all about.
Interesting. Oh, I'm going to call you. I'll follow up with you, and we'll perhaps we can give you a little bit more time to intimate that a little bit better in a structured show. But thank you very much. I like it. Sounds good to me. But what do you think about that? Let me go to Los Angeles. What's your thought on that in terms of the need for individuals to be responsible enough to make investment in their change? You know, I grew up in the housing areas of Chicago in the late 60s and 70s, and that was my reality, right? But the truth of the matter is I didn't allow that to continue to be, and it took certain responsible acts to make changes to get where I needed to be for myself and turn it around. California, what do you think about that? Los Angeles.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, people do have not only the responsibility, but they do have the ability to change their lives around if they can get past whatever trauma that's been imposed upon them through their environment. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. And sometimes people can make it, sometimes people can't, but the opportunities are there. Now, depending upon how traumatized people are, will allow them to take advantage of it. And before I forget, I did mention Judge Joe Brown's show. The next time I go on his show, I'll mention your show. And when you go on, or if you go on, you can tell him about what you're doing. He's running for mayor, so he should appreciate
that. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. You two have something. Okay. Plus, there's another blog talk show that's called Neo Nation. And it's similar to yours, only it's secular. And they actually will help black people who are looking for an opportunity. And they actually counsel them into opening up businesses or helping them with their businesses. Yeah, Neo Nation. So if you look up Neo Nation on Blog Talk Radio, you've got an ally.
Okay. All right. Well, Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, at the end of the day, gentlemen, I want to make sure that I'm clear that I don't want to presume that I have the superior understanding of everything. But if anybody has listened to my show over the years, know that I've been adamant about the fact that having come from that experience, I'm clear, and I'm very deliberate about addressing the root causes of individual pain, hurt, and setback. Having been there, I can appreciate the fact that if I allow myself or anyone allows themselves to cope continuously in their pain and despair, that you'll cheat yourself of the opportunity of forward progress. And one of the things that I've noticed, some people over the years have thought that they voiced that they thought I was downing African-American males when I talk about urban American issues. Nothing can be further from the truth. But if we don't tell the truth about where we are and what we're facing, you don't stand a chance of changing it. Now, I saw in the Los Angeles area where reports were young people. These weren't old folks. These young folk looting and stealing and robbing. And at the end of the day, there's so much more they could have done with their time. Now, we can try to figure out why it was they did, but there was no justification for it. I would just argue that if we were using our resources, churches, social organizations, media organizations, to be very clear with them that that's unacceptable, but yet there's hope for you to be proactive and so forth and so on. It seems to be hitting the city so hard, just like Chicago. Nashville is struggling in that way. It seems to be hitting the city very hard in terms of the interest and economic interest leaving and things of that nature. Has that been your observation as well, Los Angeles?
Yeah, not only in Chicago, but New York. Big cities, they've been hit with the flash and grab mobs. They've been hit with Black Lives Matter, which is nothing more than just an excuse to burn down buildings. It's not really representing, as far as I know, the best interest of black people. But because they have FBI infiltrating Black Lives Matter. They have Antifa there. So burning down buildings, when you have riots, you do get attention. But when you're burning down buildings and then going against your own mission statement by destroying statues of people who were supposed to assist people to be free from slavery, you seem to be very, very hypocritical. And it just seems that there are infiltrators. And again, I say the FBI has infiltrated, like I said, the January 6th so-called insurrection. And they have a history of infiltrating organizations that are trying to do good for America. So that's another reason why I believe that America is on the road to self-destruction.
You know, I take your point there, but I just believe that out of the, 330-some million people in America, that the vast majority of us don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, if you will. There's some things we need to get rid of. You understand what I mean? And a lot of it is over government control. You know, despotic government control, when people are not making decisions for themselves, I'm convinced that that's when they become really frustrated, when the people who are deciding for them lead them or fail to meet their needs. That's really where the frustration comes from. And I would argue that the American dream has to be made a reality by every American. That means you got to work, you know? You got to put some work in, and you've got to determine that course and that path. But it's there for you, you know? And that's not about your ethnicity. It's not about your whether you're male or female. That's not about what city you grew in. That's really about your mindset and about your attitude. Maybe I'm wrong. What say you all? Anybody want to come into that?
Pastor Doctor, you know, I heard my brother say that he said something about, you know, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. I just put that with it. But then he said something about it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if that was being exercised, man, just that alone, you know, to be able to know that if you love yourself and you learn to love your neighbor, then a lot of these things wouldn't even be a conversation. Wouldn't even be talked about because, you know, and I tell you why it wouldn't be. Because the power of loving your neighbor, it would be all because you love yourself. Because he said, love your neighbor, yourself. So I remember the time that I didn't love myself. And it wasn't because I didn't want to love myself. I just didn't know how because of what I was captured into.
I see.
And so when I was accepted into it, I was able to present that to the community. But when I started loving my neighbor, man, I realized that I had started loving myself and didn't even know it, you know. So I just wanted to put emphasis on that, man. It's amazing and how valuable that could be for a lot of people that are doing things. And maybe they just don't have, and I say maybe, because sometimes it takes a little while. And I haven't always loved the Lord my God, and I have you know, said that. I just said that I once upon a time didn't love myself. That's what I wanted to put emphasis on. But if those people that's out there doing those things that's out in the world caught up, maybe it's because they don't know anything about how valuable that is to love your neighbor.
Yourself.
As yourself.
As yourself. Interesting. Wow. Okay. Well, Virginia, would you like to respond to that?
In this respect, I have had, as I say, quite a bizarre life. I had my life saved by the police in New York when I was working as a contract security officer and couldn't breathe when I was in a patrol car in an industrial park and was brought to the hospital, was intubated, and as a result of the incident was totally disabled, and I started a workers comp cases back in 2007. I guess it was so severe they just awarded to me without a hearing. I went through the whole process, relocated down to Virginia, and in a prior residence I was set up by a corrupt police sergeant, and I was arrested from my bed. I've never been arrested for anything in my life. I let go and I let God, and that story is available on a big website. I can show that big website or talk to you after the show. But that corrupt police sergeant is now dead, as well as some of the gossipers that set me up in that. I did not ask for that to happen. I forgive everyone. But what a story they gave me to show how my faith in God, when I let go and let God handle things, what happens.
That's a great point. Right. You know, and it's unfortunate that there are people in positions of influence and power, you know, that's supposed to represent the best part of government. Unfortunately, there are people that are corrupt, you know, and those people need to be removed. But to your point, what God did was allow you to have a very powerful testimony. You know, I'm listening to you, and that's to be able to have a forgiving heart is powerful by itself right there. You know what I mean? And Carla, there are a lot of, I'm more concerned about our young folk. There are a lot of young people who are very, sometimes they don't even know who and why they're angry, but they're very angry and ready to go to war. You know, if some kind of way they can learn how to find forgiveness and move forward, you know, I'm not excusing the corrupt action of anyone. It's sad that in many professions you have that bad apples, you know. And I would certainly agree we need to remove those folks who are making the problem for everybody. But I appreciate that powerful testimony. So it sounds like you do a lot of poems. That's what I'm hearing from you.
I have some, but I also take things to shift the consciousness in a big way. On January 1st, 2011, I actually empowered the word joy and say there's a hidden meaning in the word joy, which you discover when you create a word from each of the letters. And the hidden meaning is Jesus optimizes you. I offer that to anybody. Anybody can put that on a coffee mug and wake up every day with your website for somebody to come back to get fed body, mind, and spirit and have a cup of coffee with Jesus in your heart. And another one for a coffee cup, God, growing our divinity. All these things can start shifting the consciousness, and what you're doing for the youth is giving them the opportunity to look in a different direction, because the parenting isn't there anymore either, because I worked 100-hour weeks. All the things I talk about, I don't just talk about from my head. I talk about from practical life experience. I've been through natural disasters and most everything. So, again, I function as a way shower in a Phoenix rising, but showing it's only my faith that has seen me through all these things.
I see. Yeah, and, you know, go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor Juan.
That's great information, man. I mean, that's just something that, you know, when you talk about joy, that's on a deep level right there. Because the joy that he's talking about, the world didn't give it to him, and the world can't take it away from him. And that's when you talk about the joy in your heart, you know, you do it. Be aware that there's something about you on the inside, because joy goes deep, and that's why I can really be honest with you and say that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that's where the joy is knowing that, you know, inside of me I have that what I was missing. You know, today I have it, and that's a constant reminder of how joyful it is to be able to find myself as those that are still out there lost out in the world. You know, they can be found, but maybe they still hold on to the fear of not, you know, knowing what it's like to step up and say, okay, I'm going to try them for myself. And, you know, I had to try them with everything that I was doing. Yes, I was doing all the things that I was doing that I felt like wasn't right. But I still made that move, and I decided to say, okay, if anything is going to change, man, I have to make a move. And that, to me, brought forth joy through the process.
Okay.
So it's just late. Yeah, appreciate the callers for bringing that up.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, we got about 20 more minutes before our episode ends here. One last point that I wanted to introduce before we wrap up tonight. I mentioned that Thursday night we won't be having our episode, but we endeavor to be back next Tuesday from 7 to about 9. As we go through this holiday season, but more importantly, as a nation, as we begin a new calendar year, people are going to be making all sorts of New Year's resolution, right? And I sounds like my friend Hugh here would be able to come up with some nice little sayings there. But that's all they are. If I and others don't put the work in to make sure that those things can come, come to fruition. Hugh, what do you think about that? Would you advise people to, rather than talk about them, just make sure you go ahead and lay those things down, and maybe it just makes them feel good to say it. I don't know. Perhaps that's what it is. What do you say, Hugh?
Well, we're coming into 2022, and I say, right. In 2022, what will you do? There's basically two energies in life. One is negative and the other is positive. We have free will to go either way. Once you've experienced the negative and this karma attached to both, maybe it's time to try the positive. It doesn't mean you're not going to be tested, but that's where the faith comes in. So, in 2022, what will you choose to do based on those two energies? And also understanding that we all came from spirit, where we're going to go back to, even an atheist can't deny that. And you can't take the material goods with you. I put out simple things to awaken people in different ways, too. I said, if you had to make a choice immediately, which would you prefer to be, an embittered paraplegic billionaire or a healthy, happy person with all your basic needs met? Some people might jump right on the billionaire, but I say after a few days, they may truly regret that choice, especially if they had a nasty nurse. So be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. And the other thing I say, I'll end with this too. This is another choice. If you had to experience a million times stronger the psychological or physical pain you caused someone else, how long do you think you'd continue to do that? So these are just some basic things for people to contemplate and to take into their heart and then just shift into that love energy and put out the love. Put a smile on your face when you're seeing somebody in a store or whatever, and you'll see things shift very quickly.
That's so true, man. I was in the office supply store, and I don't know how it happened, but I ran into about two or three different people, and we were talking and laughing and smiling. So young man stopped me and says, "What you so happy about?" And, it kind of caught me off guard. So I said, "Well, I mean, what you want me to be upset about?" So he started smiling. I said, "Well, let's find something, man. If we ain't got nothing, let's find something." Yeah. I very, very well said. Very well said there. Yes, sir, go ahead.
He reminds me of this man, that I had a chance to listen to talk, and I was back in around 1995, and I was seeking. I hadn't gotten my life together, but I was hungry, and I had been free for about 3 years. And I heard him talking, and he was standing there, and he was talking, and he was saying, and then he got to a point where he said, "I've had the millions of dollars, been all over the world," but he was a 30-year Trump, and he had been sober for 30 years. So I was just tuning in, listening. Man, and as he continued to talk, he said, "But if I had a choice between the millions of dollars and a peace of mind, damn, I'm stuck because I don't know what." I'm like, man, I said, "That man just got to say that if you had a choice between the millions of dollars and a peace of mind," he said, "I take a peace of mind every time. It messed me up."
Wow.
He said, "I take a peace of mind every time." And it reminded me of what the brother just said, man. I'm so glad that you made note of that, because temptation can't get me right now, because I heard some good news tonight. you continue to just stay on this path, even though I don't have the millions of dollars, I don't have this kind of wealth that I once upon a time, was experiencing. But that man that I heard speak in 95 caused me to walk away from the game in 1997, man.
Wow.
So, the things that I used to do, and I'm so just grateful, just because it's a good reminder, that it's not easy to do. But when he explained himself like he did, which would you rather have? You know what I mean? The million dollars, versus, quote, a peace of mind. And I didn't have a peace of mind for many years of my life. And since I've had a peace of mind, I actually didn't, I didn't want for anything because the peace of mind was so unique. I'm like, man, this is what I've been missing. So very, very well said. Appreciate
yes, sir.
That.
Yes, sir. Well, somewhere I read, gentlemen, that it's easier for a camel to thread the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom. That's something, ain't it? That something? What an analogy.
That is.
What an analogy.
That's it. That's peace and joy.
So I'm going to we'll go like this. Hey, listen, my friend, Virginia, I'm going to call you, but before the show started, my son just flew back in. He's been away. He's gone off on his own way in the Cleveland, Ohio area, and he just got back into town. So I'm going to spend a little time to check him out to see what he made out of. But I will, if it's okay with you, I'll give you a buzz tomorrow sometime and we can chat. Is that okay?
Yeah, that'd be perfectly fine. That's wonderful. And as I finish the show with you, I just want to say, too, that people have to pray more. Don't be looking at God as a Santa Claus, but if you pray, and it doesn't have to be a formal prayer, just have a regular conversation with God. But if you pray in the right way, God will put the ego in check globally. I have no fear of this atomic war. There's actually, I think, ET's putting a stop to a lot of the stuff, too. We're not, there's other beings in other universes that we're not even aware of yet, but that's down the road a piece. But either way, just understand prayer is powerful, and just absolutely ask God to put the ego in check.
Wow. There is power in prayer. There's power in prayer.
Yes.
Well said. Okay. Well, with that, if y'all don't mind, I'm gonna turn it over to you, sir, and let you give us a final thought before we leave here. And I'll be in touch with you tomorrow, sometime there, my friend. I appreciate you.
Terrific. Thank you so much for bringing me on, and God bless everyone.
Yes, sir. You too.
God bless.
All right, Pastor. We'll go ahead and wrap our conversation up for tonight there.
Hey, man, it's been a great show tonight, man. We just know God
has
realized, you know, how unique it was to have a show that ended like this on this particular night, man. You know, it brought forth a lot of joy and peace. And just want to thank God again for what you're doing, Pastor Doctor. Keep doing what you're doing. And you never know who's listening and who's, you know, ready to make a call and give you that good energy that you know, actually deserve. And
right.
The word of God does say, according to Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. This righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. And
my,
I say unto you, brother, just keep on seeking him and let the Lord add what you're standing in need of, brother. I yield back to you on that note.
All right, and we thank you, sir. We've been discussing the topic, American Opportunity. Your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller. We've had great conversation from out of Richmond, Virginia area, from Los Angeles, California, from Selma, Alabama. And as always, we thank each and every one of you. You can go back and listen to our recorded shows on blogtalkradio.com/BFC Institute. Feel free to go and follow us. And we'll be back next Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode of Talk Straight. Thank you again, and we look forward to hearing from you then. Jesus can't fix it. Nobody can.